Hey everyone, Xyla here, and welcome to the actual first video of me building my Pete and Pole air camper, which is a 1920s, early 30s, all wood and fabric airplane design, and hopefully by the end of this project, I will be able to fly it.
This series was made possible by IMI and the Sloan Foundation.
Very unconventionally, I'm going to be starting with the fuselage. Most people will start with like the rudder or any of the smaller flight surfaces in the tail. However, I have a really good reason why I'm gonna start with fuselage, but I'm not gonna tell you yet. So yeah, first step is I need to build a jig. And to do that, I need to create a 14 foot long workbench surface. So I'm gonna rotate this bench sideways and then have these two by eight sheets of 3/4 inch MDF that I'll put along it and then start turning that into a jig. It's time for me to draw this fuselage jig pattern out. I became an engineer technically in 2019. So I have never worked in a world without CAD, and I've also never worked in a world without CNC. And this is very much not that. Just the like skill of turning a drawing like this into 16 feet of drawing is new to me. And it looks self-explanatory. I think I can do it, but
it's scary. It's scary.
Oh my God, there's a hummingbird in my shop. Oh, it left. Sometimes they get stuck in here and I have to guide them.
Laying out the template for the fuselage ended up being surprisingly easy and fun and like rewarding. But I basically drew one really long line across the top, which will be my upper longeron. And then I kind of went through and just measured all of the spots according to the plans, which were really clear about where each strut was gonna go and therefore where each curve for the lower longeron is gonna go.
It is very surreal to see the airplane, like this is the whole fuselage, just mapped out. It's airplane. That's crazy, yo! I scarfed down a quick dinner because I thought it would give me energy, and instead it made me really, really tired. But I shall prevail, and I'm still gonna try to get these longerons actually ripped down.
The plans call for the longerons to be 1 inch by 1 inch of clear Sitka spruce. And when I ripped them down with Steve in my last video, we actually left them a little bit large, partially so that I could search through and make sure that there was no knots in any of them and then select the exact boards that I wanted to use as the longerons. And also just because it's easier to take it to that perfect 1 inch by 1 inch when it's not a huge board.
What up? Day three of Xyla's Pete and Pole air camper. Boom! All right, I'll stop now. My goal today is to try to get as many of those pieces that like make this fixture as I can screwed down. But there is a lot going on today and I have to go to a conference at like 3:00. So we'll see how far I really get.
And to turn this template into a jig, I have found some scrap plywood and just cut it into a bunch of tiny blocks. And I'll use those to like nail to the MDF where I drew the template to turn it into like a 3-dimensional jig I can lay parts into.
Sasha! Are you ready to build airplane? Are you ready to build an airplane? Yeah.
Oh my God, she just sneezed on her head.
Big sneeze. Big sneeze.
That was okay. She just clocked herself on my knee though.
That was Sasha. She's my least reliable employee, though I will say she does a very good job of keeping the floors clean of any snacks. Anyway, I nailed a bunch of blocks down to guide the longeron, especially the lower one, onto this curve. And I kept it pretty bare bones because I wanted to get the curve in there and then I could add additional blocks as necessary. But I repeatedly fit the longeron, went back to nailing box, fit the longeron, etc.
It hath suddenly occurred to me that before I put all of the internal bracing in for the jig, I should probably cut the pieces out so that I can use an angle gauge to measure it. Otherwise, there will be all this garbage in the way and it'll be even more annoying than it's already gonna be. So now we play this very fun game of dodge the knot because, for example, I cut this one. This is a perfect 1x1 to be a longeron. And then I discovered upon cleaning it up that there was one singular knot right here, like smack in the middle, which makes this piece not airworthy. The rest of it is airworthy, but like not in its full length. I don't know where all the knots came from because they weren't there when I looked at the board the first time. I'm gonna rip it clean on one side and then see what I can get out of it. First brace in. That wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, actually, to be completely honest. Finding sections of wood is gonna be really annoying, but fitting the braces is not gonna be as bad. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that before I know. Talk to me at the end of the 15 of them. Really annoying to be generating scraps that look like this. Where I'm like, this is like $5,000 worth of lumber. Maybe I'll make it into spoons or drumsticks. Patreon.com/XyloFoxwood. Maybe you'll get a Sitka spruce drumstick. Do we think that this is airworthy? I feel like it's probably fine. Because I think that that's the end of a knot. It's not the beginning of a knot. Okay, if that's what kills me, died doing what I love. Don't tell the FAA I said that.
Alas, I ended up relegating that piece to the scrap pile. I decided to behave and use exclusively pure, perfect, clear grain.
Okay, I have a new strategy, which is basically like, if I just cut the boards at the knots, then it forces me to not use a knot. So I'm just gonna go cut all of the like unairworthy knots, and then I can like jigsaw them and see what pieces fit and like maximize, but mostly it's so I don't miss a knot.
These braces were a mixture of 5/8 by 1 and 3/4 by 1. So I was basically just going along and ripping down the like rejected Langeron potential pieces, which were all cut to loosely 1 by 1. And so that's why like on some of them, like this one, I'm taking off a lot more than on some of the other cuts. And so this one is ripping down to 5/8. And then another thing I did is while I cut these braces, I cut two of them because I'm gonna have to make two of these fuselage sides. And I figure while I was set up for cutting all these angles, it was easier to just knock them both out.
Okay, so I went ahead and made two of every of these pieces. And then I labeled them with what segment number that they are. And now I'm gonna put them all aside for when I do the other half. So I got my little pile here and I made sure to label them so that I didn't think they were scrap and use them for something else, which would be really embarrassing and also kind of catastrophic. Good morning. Today is a day that I have been procrastinating because I need to cut a little spruce wedges that go in between each of these joints. And it's just obscure angle miter day. The irony that I have to do this while I'm wearing a CNC, like a Tormach shirt, is not lost on me. But I'm doing it old school. I'm just gonna put headphones in and focus.
Okay, so the primary two functions for the little blocks that I'm installing are one, to put a little more meat in the areas where like the landing gear and the struts are gonna be bolted to the airplane once it's further along. And the second is to reinforce the joints. Now, most of the joint reinforcement is gonna come from the gussets because so much strength comes from gussets, but these definitely help. And here's one of the places, one of many places where I've made mistakes and I wanna tell you about it, even though there will be a bunch of you guys being like, can't wait to see you die in the comments. But I should have made the grain like as perpendicular to both pieces as possible. And you can see here, I'm running the grain parallel to the Langeron. So it'll be a little bit weaker than it could be, but not the end of the world.
Okay, now that the Tyvek is in, final dry fit before I epoxy it.
I did so many dry fits before I broke out the glue. I think just like, it's a stress response because as soon as you epoxy it, it becomes very, very real. So you gotta make sure it's like perfect.
All right, I talked to a bunch of other Pete and Paul builders and I ended up adding more blocking here, the front here because the engine block mounts there. And then I, of my own accord, added these two where the seat mounts. A bunch of people said they did the whole plane. I think that that's a little bit excessive. Particularly out towards the tail, there's like almost no forces. Whereas over here, you have the landing gear, you have the like the wing struts, you have all this other stuff. So I've also been procrastinating gluing because I've been deciding what glue to use. I have talked to so many people who are way smarter than me, like people who have done glue testing in all sectors of aerospace, and I've come to the conclusion that it only matters a little bit. And I have landed on Totalbit Fixo.
Okay, so I've been posting little mini videos of this build as I go along on social media. So if you're not following me on like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, any of those, you should be, because then you'll see things a little bit early. And when I posted that I was using Fixo, it got everyone on Facebook super mad because it's a departure from the like very traditional, either T88 or even more traditional Resorcinol. And okay, no one wants me to use casein glue, but that is like what this airplane was designed with. And I think I will make a full video on this decision because glue is something that people are confused about and concerned about across every industry. And it's really interesting. And I spent like at least a week talking to engineers in so many different places and combing through data sheets. And a colloidal silica thickened epoxy is, I believe, the best option.
Ready? What point do I get to start making airplane noises?
You can make probably a small one.
What?
You could probably start making small airplane noises.
Totally small ones. Big, where am I gonna put this?
The fact that you've not thought about that until right now perfectly sums up everything I know about you. I want to offer to help, but it's so much funnier if I don't.
Yeah, it is. Oh. First half of a fuselage. Time to do it again. It's a Saturday evening. Last night was girls' night, and so I'm admittedly a little bit hungover. So I'm probably not going to glue anything today. But I took the first half out of the forms. I was just really excited to take it out of the forms and like see it as an airplane shape. So I took that out of the forms and I think I'm gonna just dry lay up these pieces and then I'm gonna call it for today. But I wanna make some progress at least. But I'm tired. I am so tired. Good day. It is a lovely, beautiful Sunday afternoon and I'm gonna go to a barbecue in a little bit, but I thought in between chores I've been doing in the house, maybe I'll come out and cut some wedges and do some chores in the shop. I just cut all of the wedges for the second side, and I did learn in between doing the first side and the second side that I should have cut all of these at an angle. This is me publicly admitting fault, so everybody listen up. So this is how I initially cut it, where it's like as tangent to these two struts as possible. But it looks really dumb, and it looks extra dumb because the other side is nice and flat. So I ended up cutting a new one that is flat. In the end, it's fine. People have built these things so much worse. So really, why am I trying so hard? Same with that one, would have been nice at an angle, but you know, it's fine. The plans don't even call for all of these wedges. So these ones are all just bonus.
A perk of having already glued one side is that gluing this side felt a whole lot less scary. I always feel like doing something for the first time, like the first cuts of the Sitka spruce were terrible, but now that I've been doing it for a little while, I just cut willy-nilly, you know? It like takes the edge off.
Good morning, it's the next day. Whatever day it may be. It's Wednesday, in case you were wondering. And I can take all the clamps off now. So, do that and then pop this out of the forms and then I can clean up a little bit and hold the two fuselage pieces next to each other and actually make it look like an airplane, which is very, very exciting. So I'm gonna disassemble this jig and put it away for now. Okay, move those out of the way. Listen to me. Taking my earbuds out because look me in the eyes. Can you see me? Never sand epoxy without a respirator on. Did you hear that? Protect your sniffer. More importantly, protect the airbags in your body that the sniffer is connected to.
I did some cleanup on both halves of the fuselage sides, so a little bit of light sanding on the joints just to get any like excess epoxy off, and then I flush cut the ends and cleaned those up as well.
Two halves of a plane.
It doesn't look that plane shaped, but it is kind of crazy how three-dimensional it became all of a sudden. Like, it was a jig on my bench this morning.
So you guys already know that it took me a while to get this plane build started. And to be honest, even though some of it was a lumbar issue, some of it was also because I was nervous. I mean, building an entire plane is scary. So if you've got a personal project that you're too intimidated to start as well, I get it. Especially if it's something as big as starting your higher education journey. That's why I want to introduce you to today's sponsor, National University. Most of us live such full lives that taking the traditional college route isn't always easy, or sometimes even possible. But whether you're working, parenting, changing careers, or just learning something new for fun, National University is built to fit your needs. It's school your way, with the most comprehensive degree and program options in the US for working and non-traditional students. National University is an accredited nonprofit with programs designed for people juggling multiple responsibilities, boasting flexible 4 and 8 week online courses, and they're with you every step of the way through their student support programs. NU offers the Peer Navigator Network, free virtual mental health counseling via Timely Care, and a student wellness center with one-on-one support for whatever life challenges you're facing. But their support goes beyond just your time as a student. The NU Mentoring Network provides one-on-one student and alumni career guidance, professional development opportunities, and customized career support. If you're looking for a way to pursue higher education despite your busy day-to-day schedule, National University can have your back. Be sure to click the link in my description to learn more, and a huge thanks to National University for sponsoring this video.
I am 2 fuselage sides into this project, and I am spending more time reading drawings than I am actually building the airplane, which I didn't actually really account for. I kind of looked at the total amount of construction and I was like, I know myself, I know what I can do, this won't take me that long. But decoding all of the drawings is not a flavor of engineering that I've experienced before, because I was born in the late 90s and therefore CAD has existed my entire life. I was so proud of myself because I found this other drawing. This is kind of a conglomeration of other publications that Bernard Pietenpol put out, and mostly from a 1931 copy of Modern Mechanics, which had instructions on how to build this plane, because they used to put instructions on how to build airplanes in magazines back in the day. I was born in the wrong era. Actually, did they let women fly back then? I don't think so. Maybe I was born in the right era. It says here, 1/8 inch plywood gusset plates, 2.5 inches wide. Here, it says 1/8 inch by 2.25 gusset plates, cut in lengths to fit. Which do you think we should do? Either way, I'm gonna rip down some plywood.
Ripping down a $220 beautiful mahogany sheet of aircraft grade plywood just to turn into tiny little gussets doesn't feel that great, but the gussets are where like all of the strength of these joints comes from, so I am glad it's aircraft grade. And I get this question a lot, but aircraft grade, there's like a couple things that make it special. One is that there are no knots and no voids, and it's been very carefully checked for that. And also the way that the plywood is glued together is different. It's done in a hot press and it uses a different kind of glue. So it is different than like what you would get at Home Depot. And it's so pretty. And this last shape that I'm cutting out here is the very distinctive like tail feather gusset.
I have spent all day cutting gussets, and I've cut all of the gussets for the vertical part of the fuselage. I put aside all of the gussets that go on the outside, so I'm only gonna do the inside today. I'm gonna try to glue all the gussets, but I might actually not have enough clamps. So we'll see. Time to glue the gussets. So I'm gonna be using Fixo again. Honestly, I think most of this plane is gonna be built out of Fixo. You already saw me glue this yesterday. I'm doing the exact same thing with the exact same glue and the exact same technique, just the other side. And then when I'm done with this, I'm gonna flip it over and do it the other side. So I think we can just speed things up a little here. And the other side, the outside, will be easier because there's only gussets on the tail, because the plywood runs the length. So many clamps. Thank you, Rockler, for all of these clamps. Last round of clamps to take off for these gussets, and then I'm gonna start assembling it into a plane shape, and then there will of course be more clamps and more gussets.
But first, I went around and trim routed the edges of all of the gussets to the longerons or the braces. Just reduce the future amount of cleanup I have to do.
So there are two cross struts on the floor of the airplane that are made out of white ash and not Sitka spruce. And I just happen to have this scrap of white ash sitting in my shed. It feels a little bit wrong to use a scrap I found in my shed on an airplane, but like, it's just ash. Okay, so what I'm doing right now is basically the same thing I did for the sides of the fuselage, but for the top of the fuselage, which is the flat part. So I'm laying that out here and drawing where the plywood stiffeners are gonna go, where the spruce cross braces are gonna go. I squared everything on this sheet up against this edge. But as we get towards this sheet, there's no saying this edge is square to that edge. So I got a laser so that my center line, no matter what, will be straight.
And then I began turning this template into a jig, kind of the same way that I did the sides, stapling blocks on. And for these sidewalls, I also added these like right angle thingy bobbers, clamps, I don't know, braces. And then I began cutting all of the cross braces that are the full length. So the first half of the airplane is a full 24 inches wide, and then it tapers down into the tail. But I needed to cut all of those full width ones so that I could bend the sides into the tail. Also, a huge thank you to my patrons for like letting me have my dream job and making this channel happen. It's really fun over there. We have a Patreon Discord that is really active and you can come for help with your projects. There's also some behind the scenes content. You could get your name featured in videos, but most of all, you support my channel.
Good morning. Okay, so I think my goal today is to start getting this fuselage glued up if I can. But to do that, I have to get the tail shaped properly. And so I have it braced over there at the last spots where it is the full 24 inches wide, and then from there back it starts tapering in towards the tail where these two meet and are glued together. However, you'll notice that they don't actually meet yet, so I need to like cut a taper into both of these tail pieces at the right angle so that they can meet really nicely. So I have here the center line that I put in with a laser, so it should definitely be straight. I have marked here the midpoint of both of these pieces. So what I'm gonna do is line that midpoint up on the center line there, and then mark here where the center line meets the tail.
I wanna say, for anyone who's actually planning on building a Pete and Paul air camper, future Xyla, like 2020 hindsight, voiceover Xyla, I would cut all of the braces, the horizontal braces, before shaping the tail and before doing that bend, because they have designated lengths that I didn't realize. And so fitting them afterwards was a little bit more of a challenge.
I am basically debating, do I glue it now and then fit the braces once it's glued? This is the frame, this is perfectly straight. Everything is squared. And like the most important thing is that the tail line is square to the nose. And then I need to lock that in place and then I brace it. So I think I glue it like this.
Yeah, so this is the part where I wish I had like cut all of the braces and fitted it with all the braces before gluing.
I think I have everything prepped for gluing. It's actually not that much gluing. I'm probably overthinking it.
And for the glue, I'm painting the joints with high performance, like penetrating epoxy before I go in with the thickened epoxy. And that'll just add an extra level of penetration to these epoxy joints.
Good morning. It's the next day and I'm really excited because I get to pop this out of the forms and like pull it out and see it in three dimensions. But my goal for today is to get as many of the cross braces cut as possible. When I did these ones, I was like closing in on a system that was pretty quick. So hopefully I can get all of those done today and then this fuselage will be fully braced. But like anything could happen, you know? It could start raining and then I would melt and turn into a puddle. So who knows? Better come out. What? Airplane! It's not heavy. It's just like the moment arm. Yeah! Ah, I shouldn't do that. My day just got ruined. Silver lining of this is that the plywood delaminated, not the glue, which means all the boomers in my Facebook comments about how I am sacrilegious for not using like resorcinol glue or whatever can shut up, because this strength tested the glue and the glue won. The wood did not. So it happened when I like picked up the frame, started rolling it over. I was gonna flip it right side up actually. And like as I started tipping it, it just like popped. And I thought about it more. I think I know what happened. Here we have the drawing. So I'm building this entire plane from just this drawing. So this cross strut is the one that popped open. That's this one. The one, the forward strut. It is specified that the outer distance here is 24 inches. I thought about it and I decided, I assumed that that 24 inches just continued through this whole plywood stiffener, because it's not specified what this one is. But actually, I think that the curve of the airplane starts here. And so this one actually needed to be cut slightly shorter, because what has happened is that by forcing the bend of the tail here as this being the like pivot point, it bent open here. So you can see now the way the plane is naturally sitting. By bending in here, it pushes out here. And so it put so much tension on this glue joint that it popped open. So my options as I see them are to make this one longer, but then that would stray from the plans. I think what I need to do is cut this one off, like flush cut it off, and allow the bend to sit wherever the bend sits, and then cut it shorter and glue it back in. Did not want the first time I climb into this airplane to be to cut it apart. I hate this. I hate absolutely everything about this. Can you tell I look grumpy? Do I look grumpy? Current plan, I'm gonna put a huge dollop of thickened epoxy right here, and that's gonna repair. I thought about grinding this gusset off, but really the gusset is doing the work of protecting this joint. It's just this section. And also now this brace is gonna be under like no tension, so. So I'm gonna put a big old dollop of epoxy there and let the tension of the airplane just hold that in place, and then I'm gonna flip it back over, wrestle it back into its brace that I glued it together in the first place in. I'm gonna cut this one back in. So that's the plan.
And before anyone gets up in arms about the fact that I'm end grain gluing to plywood, which is not strong at all, there is a full width airplane gusset that will hold this joint together. And this is how the plans call for it.
The thing that actually makes epoxy bonds the strongest is fillets. And I think the only reason the airplane doesn't call for them is because epoxy wasn't invented yet. In like casein glue or resorcinol glue, there's no gap filling. So fillets don't do anything. But fillets are really freaking strong, but they add weight, so.
And then to repair the other strut, I sanded off the old epoxy for max penetration with this new epoxy, and then glued it right back in. And with that re-glued, I got to work cutting and fitting and measuring all of the horizontal braces that'll continue into the tail, and then cutting the braces themselves out of stock material. And then with the last bit of energy I had left for the day, I glued them into place.
It took a lot of mental energy to come back to the shop today after yesterday. But I'm here, gonna do the thing.
And oh my gosh, doing these diagonal braces was such a joy. It felt like cheating. Like I actually felt Asian parent guilt, because all I had to do was lay them exactly where they needed to go and then trace the line on the longeron.
Oh, I have been in analysis paralysis for a while, but I just gotta do it. Just got to do it. At the very least, I'm gonna make some of the gussets. Really wanna get this glued today though. So here's the part where I have to start making decisions, which I really don't wanna do, but alas. Adulthood sucks. So the plans call for gusset here, gusset here, gusset here. Makes sense. Easy peasy. And it goes up there. Easy peasy. But if I want to put a hat box here, which a lot of people do, it kind of makes more sense to just gusset the whole thing. It's a lot of 1/8-inch ply. It's heavy. I'm overthinking this. I know I'm overthinking this, but like, you only get one shot at any of this stuff, which is really annoying.
Hat box analysis paralysis. It sucks.
In the end, I decided to cut the gussets to the plans, and if I'm going to add a hat box, which I think I will, I'm gonna use 1/16 inch ply, either on the top or on the bottom, but 1/16 is just so much lighter. And for this glue up, I was able to glue all the diagonal braces and the gussets in one go.
Oh, I'm so close. But yet so far, I don't know how this project keeps pushing my clamp collection to the frickin' limit. Okay, it's time to put all the gussets on the bottom here, but more importantly, I have to fit the floor, which is gonna be 1/4-inch birch plywood. And I wanna start with that because the gussets start at the end of the floor, which ends in this very random spot. Wow, compared to everything I've been working with, this floor is so heavy. Holy crap. So my 24-inch wide piece of plywood from Aircraft Spruce, which was in the hundreds of dollars. It's 23¾ inches wide at that end, and 23 and not quite 7/8 on this side. So it's like not cut straight, and it's shy of the 24 that I bought. I'm so mad right now. It is like after hours on a Saturday, so there's nowhere to replace this wood, if Aircraft Spruce will even do that. But I paid for 24 inches, so I'm gonna get 24 inches, whether I like it or not. I like really needed to have this fuselage done by end of day Monday, and that's no longer possible. I think I will just glue these cross struts and the rest of these gussets. And that's all I'm gonna get done today. And that makes me really mad because I wanted to cut this piece into its like fancy shape and everything, but. The funniest part is I was feeling shockingly like really good about Aircraft Spruce this morning because I ordered some fiberglass yesterday and it arrived this morning. Cause like their shipping on parts that exist is really fast, but I think their lumber department is just a mess.
And I eventually came to peace with the fact that the conclusion of this fuselage video would not have a floor because I was not willing to have the floor be shy of the width of the airplane. And I was gonna have to like fight Aircraft Spruce to replace that sheet of wood for me. I cut the rest of the gussets and glued them in. And glued the diagonals in too.
Who's flagging?
Want to start unclamping? See this beauty?
Get yourself friends that come over on a Sunday, bring you beverages, and help you unclamp the airplane.
Wait, that's what this is? We're building an airplane?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, cross to like.
How much do you think it weighs so far?
Probably like
20, 25?
I have actually no idea.
Cool. Thanks.
And there we have like maybe 4% of a completed airplane, but it now takes up a lot more room in my garage, which feels pretty good. So I'm still dealing with Aircraft Spruce to deal with the floor issue. So I think that my new strategy with this airplane is like Flintstone style. I'm just gonna stick wings on it and then run fast enough that we'll take off. So be sure to subscribe to see that monstrosity.
Be sure to subscribe if you wanna see a floorless airplane, maybe someday have a floor. Or become a Flintstones airplane, we'll see.